speak about His love. Oh, think about His goodness. Think about His grace that's brought us through. Oh,
fall down, we lay our crown.
my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, oh, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy. I want to see you.
I will serve thee because I love thee. Maybe we should try the key of C.
Serve thee because I love thee.
Amen.
And I was nothing until you found me. You have given life to me. Was nothing. Oh,
all your hearts now. Song. There's just something about it just penetrated straight to my soul. And I remember the conviction that fell over me. That song is very special to me. I can remember it from just a very early age having an effect on my life. Amen. Why don't we change the order of the service? You may be seated while we just make several of these prayer requests. Some of these are from this morning, I believe, to remember Sister Shirley Lingle. You can continue playing that softly. Her husband is still in critical condition. So let's remember her in prayer. I'm not sure if that is... Does anyone know if he is improved in that condition? Amen. Let's just remember them in prayer. Hallelujah. Let's remember Sister Mary Smith. And Landon Beard, who fell and has some skin places on his hips and body. Amen. Also, please pray for Sister Mary Smith. Her hip joint is really bothering her. And she has a hard time getting around. That's from Brother Luther. Remember them in prayer. I want to remember the Chris Novelli family. He was killed Friday morning in the backhoe accident. Was mentioned this morning, and what a tragedy. This is a patient of Sister Hannah Gunter. The man was 59 years old. Let's remember the family in prayer that God would give them comfort and peace over that situation. Amen. It's always hard to lose someone close and dear to you. Amen. I don't have any other prayer requests at this time. I'd like to ask Brother Larry if he would come and take these needs before the Lord. Let's all stand. If there's any unspoken prayer requests by uplifted hands, amen. God knows the need.
Let's all just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for another opportunity and another beautiful day, Lord, we have to come and worship you once again, Lord, in spirit and truth. We thank you for the message that was brought this morning, Lord, and may it just sink down deep in our hearts and our souls and change our lives, Lord, to serve you more each day. Bless each request that was given here today, Lord, each name that was called, God. They were important to these people, or they wouldn't put them up here, Lord. And we just ask you to touch them and move, and maybe get glory out of each circumstance that has been presented, Lord. And we just ask you to bless Brother Barry as he travels, Lord, and keep him safe, keep the family safe. Bless all the ones who are not here today, Lord, which a lot of them are traveling, Lord. Just keep them safe on the highway. Bless our speaker tonight, Lord, as he comes, and just give him the message that would speak to our hearts and open the word, the revelation of the word to us, Lord. And we give you praise and glory for everything that's accomplished tonight. We ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Larry. Amen. Why don't we just pick up the pace just a little bit, put our hands together, and shake loose that tired feeling, amen. I've got a river of life flowing out of me, amen. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Maybe the key of F, is that F? Well, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Prison door sets the captive free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me.
More and more.
I ever had before. I want more of His great love, rich and full and free. I want more of this, so I give Him more of me. Hallelujah. Why don't you put your hands together for Jesus? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song, "The Name of the Lord is a Strong Tower." Same key. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into, and they are saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Most High. Once again, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into, and they are saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Most High. Sing and blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Most High. Amen. Why don't we have our deacons come forward and we'll take up our evening offering. I'd like to sing that song, "What a Lovely Name, the Name of Jesus." We'll probably keep it in the same key there. Smith would be prepared to come forward. We'll sing that song, "What a Lovely Name."
What a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching high and far. That key. the saints proclaim. What a lovely name, amen. Let's sing it now. Oh, what a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching high and far, than the brightest star. Oh, and it's sweeter than the soul. Oh, what a lovely name. One more time now. Well, what a lovely name, the name of my Jesus, reaching high and far. And the brightest star. Oh, and it's sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven. Let the saints proclaim. Oh, what a lovely name.
Amen. We'll sing one more as the minister will be prepared to come at this time. Maybe we'll sing Fill My Way Every Day with Love.
Fill my,
that's a little high.
Fill my way every day with love as I walk with the heavenly dove. Let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Let me, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above. We'll give in cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. Is that your desire? Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Will keep me close to the side of my Savior and God. Let me never in darkness grow. Will keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love.
And soon the race will be o'er, and I'll travel no more, but abide at home up above. Blessed King, all the way to that shore. Fill my way every day with love. Hallelujah, I will. Day with love. As I walk with a heavenly dove. Oh, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Well, fill my way. Travel no more, but abide in my home.
will be o'er. Praise be to God. Amen. He's worthy of all of our praises this evening. Amen. If you have a need on your heart, maybe you'll slip it to the Lord in an uplifted hand, and we'll go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just now, Father, we're thanking you, Lord, for your grace and your love. Lord, all the mercy, Lord, that, Lord, you shed abroad in our lives, O God. And Father, we're just now thanking you, Lord, that we can come to this altar and, Lord, that we can bring our petitions before you. Lord, no doubt there are some that are sick and afflicted, and Lord, that are shut in tonight and not able to be to the house of God because, Lord, of infirmities in their bodies, O God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that, Father, you'll send your sweet Holy Ghost, and Lord, you'll go and minister to your children, Lord, in their places, O God. And Father, we ask you, Lord, if there's any that are ill or afflicted in our midst tonight, Lord, that, Father, that your grace, Lord, your word would go forth, and Lord, that you'd heal your people, Father. And Lord, we're asking you for a fresh anointing, a fresh outpouring of your Holy Ghost. Lord God, that we'd be equipped, Lord, with a ministry, O God, of grace and mercy, that we could live in this world, Lord. Though that we're here, but Lord, that we're not of this place, but Lord, we're of a heavenly. And we're praying, Father, that you'll help us, Lord, to grow into that stature of your heavenly bride. And with your heavenly bridegroom, we pray. Help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you, friends. If you have your Bibles, we'd like for you to turn with us into the book of Ephesians chapter 1. And there we would like to read a couple of places. Two verses in chapter 1, also one in chapter 2. And continuing on the same lines as this morning, where we were talking about bearing the image of the heavenly in our earthly this morning. And now we'll like to speak on the entrance of our heavenly home. Here this evening, I appreciate Brother Jared. His choice of songs were exactly online, and I appreciate that when a song leader just gets in the spirit like that and leads us right into the thought. There, he was singing that song, "The Name of the Lord is a Strong Tower," and amen. That's the very second comment that I have on my notes, and so I just thought, my, what a confirmation that we have there. Amen. If you have Ephesians chapter 1, and there we want to we want to read, if it would be all right, we'll read there verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So we realize that all blessings come from the Father of lights, and all every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from Him. Is that right? And then we look over into verse 20 of chapter 1. It says, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. And so we realize that our blessings are coming from that source, which is the right hand of God, where Christ sits. And this is called heavenly places. We're looking at chapter 2 and verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless the reading of the word as you make yourselves comfortable. The prophet of God tells us that to sit in heavenly places is to be positioned, to be placed positionally in Christ. And we understand that Christ is the person of the Word Himself. And so when the only way that we can be there, we have to be identified with the message that God is sending at a particular time. And so in the hour that we're living now, there is many aspects of the message that is going forth. And we understand that there is a bride calling out. There's a calling out to the bride, Eliezer call, that is going forth. At the same time that he was calling Eliezer, he was also sending gifts to her family that was not necessarily the bride, which shows us that there was another elected, we use the word elected loosely, a selected group that were also a saved group. And so we realize that in type that there is people today that are hearing a part of the Word of God. They're receiving a portion of the Word out of the Bible. The gospel story is going forth, but they're not being called into the bride, but they will be saved. And we also understand that there's a portion of the Word that is going to once the bride is gone, there will be a message that will go to Israel. And there they'll be 144,000 that will be called out under their two messengers. And so in the time that we live in, there are several things that are happening. We also know that the same message that elects the bride and calls her out, that same exact message is being preached to people that are eternally separated from God. That they will absolutely reject that message, just as it was in the days of Noah. The same water that lifted Noah, and it also drowned the unbeliever. We understand also that God is speaking to the as much as to the unbeliever, that He's also speaking to the make believer, the unregenerate, the sodomite. All these different ones are under the same sunlight, the same rain that is shining, or that is the same sun that is shining and the same rain that is falling is also watering the weeds. And so it produces something. It produces a life. And so we realize that the rain that falls on the wheat, that it produces wheat worship. Amen. And that same rain falls on the weeds and it produces weed worship. You see, and so it's getting results. There's something that's happening with the word as it goes forth. But we're also understanding that it's calling out a bride people, and that word, as it strikes your heart, it begins to get results. It begins to get a stimulation, Brother Bam, a stimulation, he said, of the revelation as it goes forth, and it produces something. It produces a bride life. It produces a token life. It produces rapturing faith. It produces it has a rapturing effect on the people, and that can only be because of the kind of seed that was in you from the beginning, and the Lord placed that seed there by foreordination or by foreknowledge. By His foreknowledge, He could predestinate, because Him knowing all things, then He could bring a destination for you. And so and He could predestinate you based on the choice that you would make. And so we are still a free moral agency. We are still under free moral agent choice. But because of that choice, there is a seed placed there, and then that seed will produce a fruit. Is that right? But the seed produces a root first. Amen. And so the fruit is in the root. Amen. I'm a poet. I try to wow you with rhymes and, you know, sayings. Maybe I'll get some... get somebody to grin in anyways, by the way. And so were. So this place that we are to sit this evening is when the Word places you in Christ positionally, and we understand that Christ is the anointed Word. And so when we come up into that anointed Word, then we're actually sitting in the vestibule of heaven. We're actually sitting in the place. The prophet of God tells us that under the seventh seal, he said, now we're at the threshold of a millennium. We're at the threshold. We're at the crossing over time. We've actually come up to the very entrance into paradise, into the entrance of a millennium, in the entrance of a future home. The Bible tells us that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. And you say, well, what is the name of the Lord? As we referred this morning, that the name of the Lord is when the Word itself is interpreted to you. That is the manifestation of the name of God. And so the name of God down through the ages was interpreted by bringing the Word to pass. When in the times that God was going to heal Israel, he manifested himself, and the people were healed under the time of the brazen serpent. And he was Jehovah Rapha. His presence was with them in the times of trouble. He was Jehovah Shammah. It was a time for sacrifice that had to be provided. He was Jehovah Jireh. He was all these different things, you see. And so now, he is Jehovah Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the same Jesus he has made both Lord and Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh in verse 14, and dwelt among us. So we find that name was manifested, and so he's also being manifested in our midst today. And that's where we're dwelling. We're dwelling in the manifested name of God. Amen. I was in Texas here a while back. It's been several years ago. And we were traveling through and stopped to see a brother there. And we come around a corner. There was a big apartment building that had been built there. Multifamily dwelling. Probably, I don't know, it was several big apartments, those apartment condominium type neighborhoods like that. And I always thought, oh my, it looked too much like a prison for me to live in. And I tried to live in one time, about drove me crazy. I was raised on, thousands and thousands of acres of cattle ranch, and so whenever you put me in a box like that, and even over here in the East Coast, it all closed up with all them trees, can't see nothing, got to get up on a high mountain or something just to see something, and out home, boy, I can see 40, 50 miles in one place, I can just see as far as I can see, until it runs out of sky. And I think, oh my, why would anybody want to live anywhere else? And so, we was coming by this place, a little apartment, complex that they had built there, had a big marquee on the side of it, said, if you lived here, you'd be home now. And I thought, oh, thank God, that I don't live there. But nevertheless, the thought was striking that, if you had taken the time and done your research and paid your deposit and moved all your furniture into one of those little apartments, then you'd be home by now. You'd be home at that point that they were saying that this would be a home for you, And I thought, oh, Lordy, I thought, here we are on this earth, and, that's what Satan would like for us to believe, that if we were home now, if we were here, if this is the ultimate, then we'd be home. But I'm here to tell you, friends, this is not my ultimate. Amen. There was doctrines back in the day, and maybe still go around, that teaching that we're already in the millennium and the resurrection is past. And, you know, that was nothing. That's just rekindled from the days of Paul. And Paul, some taught that the resurrection was past, and others taught that there was no resurrection. And Paul came and told him, said, if the resurrection be past, or if there be no resurrection, then we are of all men most miserable. If this is all we got to look forward to, then surely the whole canon of word has become a fallacy. It's become a fairy tale to us. It's not even true. We should go on, Paul said, and eat and drink and be merry, you know, because this is if this is as far as it is. But we've had too much witness. We had a prophet that went across and saw into the other side. He told us, whatever you do, don't miss it. And so we know that we've had witness from the other side. We bear that witness in our own lives. We've heard from God. We know, we can feel it. There's something, there's a deep calling, and there's a deep to respond. I know there has to be a heaven because I want to go there so bad. I know there's a Jesus because I want to see Him so bad. I know that my loved ones still live because I still feel their presence from time to time, and we still dream about them, and we still know that they're there. And so we're looking forward to being reunited with the believers that have gone on before us. Hallelujah. If you lived here, you would be home now. Thank God I don't live here. I'm not talking about Hickory. I'm talking about this world. Amen. Hickory would be good as a place, any place to live. Good as Albuquerque or Phoenix or Beaufort or whatever. It don't matter where you are in this world. It's all full of sin. It's all full of unbelief and hatred and diversity and all these other kind of things. Oh, I'm not home yet. The message, the trial, Brother Bram makes a statement. He said, I looked down the road and I went and said, there was a sign said, the future home of so-and-so. Future home. And I thought, but I don't say this disregarding these brothers, but just what was said to me. And I thought, where is my future home? And something said, look up. I thought, oh my, how that we've seen, you know, the building sites, and it's a day like it was in the time of Noah, when the Bible says they built it and they planted and they sold and they drank and they married and they gave in marriage. And you know, if there's ever a time you look around, and I was just we were just back in Phoenix. My wife was raised there in the western part of Phoenix and Maryville area. And when we got married, I remember about, I think it was around, she was 83rd Avenue, somewhere along in there out west. And by the time you hit about 87th, 89th, 90th Avenue, well, you were out in the orange groves. And there was nothing out there, just farms and onions and lettuce fields as far as you could see, and irrigation and you know, just nothing out there. Why, we went around there now, and there's a big old super highway goes through there, and there's not a piece of bare dirt, amen, all the way out, way past 100 and something street out there. Why, they just planted and planted. That's just in the last 30 years. They've built, you know, double the size of the city. And in that amount of time, and you know, just everything is the future home of someone else and someone else. And they're just building, 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 building. Oh my, they only realize that judgment is at hand. And oh, we need to be looking to a heavenly home. He said, look up. Brother Bam talked about, he said, I was studying some scripture some time ago. And it said that when Jesus drew near unto Jerusalem, that the disciples lifted up their eyes. They saw the holy city in the distance, and they began to rejoice and say, now will the kingdom be restored. And so when they looked at Jerusalem, their minds would go back to the historic times of David and Solomon, and how that they had built a temple, and how they had built a great city, and it was the you know, the city of David, and there was Mount Zion, and there was all these things that were that pointed to a kingdom, and they remembered the glory days of Solomon. Brother Bam tells us that the days of Solomon was like a millennium to Israel. It was when she had come into her kingdom. And then they had fallen from that, and now in the times of the Lord, that the Romans had ruled the land for many years, and now when the disciples, they were coming back to Jerusalem, they walked around the hill, and they looked out, and they could see the great expanse of the city at that time, and you know, their heart began to rejoice, because here they had walked with the Lord Jesus, it was revealed to them that this is the Messiah, this is the one that was prophesied in the Bible of in the times of Isaiah, and that the government should be upon him, and this is the one that they had looked for, and he had even told them that this was the one, and he told them that he was the one that this day the scripture was fulfilled, and so they were seeing the time of the Messiah had been fulfilled, and they were looking for it. And so they asked him the question, is this the time? Is this the time that you're going to speak the word? You're going to go and you're going to wipe these Romans off the face of the earth, and you're going to come into your temple, and you're going to take dominion. And they were looking for the great millennial reign to start at that time. And Jesus, you know, told him, said, no, he said, there's going to be diversity. There's going to be wars, and you're going to see the cities circled by the enemy. And in that day, don't even go up on the roof, or don't go back to get your coat, or, you know, and woe to those that are carrying children and different things. He said, you know, flee the city when you see these things, and there'll be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in diverse places. And he was showing them that there was a future, to the city. Until that finally that we find that city went into complete ruination. It went through war of every kind, through the Crusades under Muslim rule and French rule and English rule and back and forth and even till now, the times of desolation that Daniel spoke of, in the time when the Muslims would build a mosque there on the holy temple site, and that would be the very abomination that makes desolate. And so these all these things. And so now, but there was a promise that Israel would be would come back, and that she would, that this fig tree would give forth its leaves again. It would bud, and it would be a nation again. And we find that the prophet of God tells us in I believe it was 1947, when Israel became a nation again. And then she got her own currency, she got her own flag, she got her own military, and was coming back into a nation. And as these people were returning, and Brother Bram goes on to tell, he says, and a certain man that was telling me or talking to me about a recent visit to Palestine. And he said that the people now in the last year has been coming to a place that when they come up from the valley and they look around the bend, the same road that Jesus and the disciples were on, that at that time, that when they see the city, that they start to weep. And so now here is this people, and Brother Bam talked about how that they would get on those planes and they would fly out of Africa and they'd fly out of Germany and Poland and United States and all these different places, and they didn't want to get on them planes. But then the rabbi told him, he said, but the scripture says that we'll be brought back on eagle's wings. And so they just piled onto the planes, and they flew back into Israel, and the great pilgrimage back into Jerusalem had begun. And there were certain ones that would actually journey up from the different places, from the ocean and from the Mediterranean, coming in on ships and boats and every kind of way, and they would come up on the rise there and out of the valley, and they would look over the hill, and then they would see the city of Jerusalem, the promised place of worship, the place that had been the very capital of Israel. And when they would look at this city, that they would begin to weep. And how I begin to think about that, how that if that would happen to the heart of a Jew, that he could see an earthly city that's full of garbage and sin and death and sickness, that if he could see a natural city, and it would cause his heart to be so stirred that an emotion would strike him, and then he would begin to weep at the sight of a natural city, then what would it do to the heart of a believer when he began to see himself in the Bible and know that he was being placed positionally in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? How that it ought to stir the heart of every believer, and then we would begin to weep, and we begin to rejoice to know that we are they in whom the ends of the world have come upon, and that we have been called to the rapture message. We've been called to a millennial kingdom. We've been called to the wedding supper of the Lamb, and we're now crossing out of the valley of Laodicea, and we're walking up the shores, amen, of Jordan's hill, amen, and we're coming across to Jordan, and we're looking over into another dimension, friends, where we can see our loved ones are just over the bar. Oh, how that it ought to make us rejoice. How that it ought to make us, amen, stir us in our hearts to know that we're so near to the coming of the Lord. We are they, friends. We are the ones that the Bible spoke of, that they without us could not be made perfect. We are them. You look around and say, well, I don't feel like much. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you feel. It's the truth of God's Word that identifies you in the Bible and says you're the one. You're the one. God didn't make a mistake when He picked you. When He elected you from the foundation of the world, God didn't make a mistake. He knew what He was doing. But you see, the prophet tells us that we were shell-shocked. We were like that soldier in the First World War. And how that those bombs and gases and all those things, that they had shocked him. And he had lost his memory. And he had amnesia. And he didn't know where he was from or who he was, or he didn't even know his name. And there was many of those men like that. And they took those men, they put them on a train. They were going to take them off to an institution. They were traveling down, and as they came to a certain stop along the road, they let all the men out to stretch their legs and, you know, use facilities and what more. And there was a certain one that a guard was watching, and he walked around and he looked up and he saw an old water tower. He says he looked around and saw the depot, and he just started walking down a road. And the guard said, well, I'll just watch him for a little while. He said, and as he began to walk, and he said, the man began to look around, and things began to look familiar to him. And he'd come up over a hill and down around a curve, and he saw an old cabin, and he started heading for it. He said, there was an old man that was sitting there, and he saw this soldier boy coming his way. And the old man stood up, and the guard was watching. He said, all of a sudden, the old man come to his feet and began running towards him. And the boy began to realize, he began to recognize. And so the old man grabbed him and hugged him, and he said, he lives. He said, my boy's alive. I knew you were alive. I never gave up hope. Oh, let me tell you, then something happened to that boy. He said his eyes come open, and he began to recognize his daddy. He began to recognize the old home. He began to recognize the Word. Amen. The old place around there. And Brother Bam said, we need to walk around in the Bible for a while until these things become familiar to us. Amen. I'm looking for a people, amen, who are looking in the Word, and it's becoming real to them. And they begin to realize, this is what I come from. This is where I was born. This is where I come from. This is my daddy. This is my father. This is the Word that I was designed for, that I was designed to live in. He said, oh, soldier of the cross that's been shocked with so much training, so many shocks of denomination and creed, things of the world, why don't you just step off for a minute and go to looking around at the Bible? Might wander around. You might find yourself identified here in the Word as a believer. And one of these days you may not know Him. You may come to yourself like the prodigal son did and find yourself. You might find your identification in the words of God. Brother Branham tells us that Satan's plan was to take the kingdom and to take the kingdom without an atonement and to give it to the Lord Jesus without the shedding of blood, that it would eventually have gone back into His hands because Satan had a claim on it. In Future Home, Brother Bram says, notice, see how Satan tried to take it, as I said a few minutes ago, by giving it to Jesus without buying it then. Satan still has a claim because it's earmarked, see? But Jesus buys it by His shed blood and brings it back to the rightful owner, see? That's how He bought us, by His blood, how He bought the church. And so now then Christ then wants to, as we said, wants us to be where He is. But the only way that we can get from here to there is there has to be a price of passage. There has to be a token that has to be provided, and you can't provide it for yourself. But the token has to be bought for you because you don't have the means or the wherewithal to buy that rite of passage. And so God Himself then becomes the very token. And so Brother Ram tells us that the token is the literal life of God. And so once He gives you that life, then you don't, when you come up to the gate, when you come up to the, when you come up to the conductor, Brother Bam tells us, you don't show Him your own life, but you show Him God's life. Because God's life can get on the boat. Amen. God's life can get on the plane. God's life can get on the train. And friends, so we're dead and hid away in Christ, you see. And so we're sent together in heavenly places. Every good gift come from God. It come from those heavenly places where Christ sits in heavenly places to bring us to heavenly places. Now, this doorway or this entrance into the heavenly home. Now, where I got this thought, I was there at Brother Eugene Brown's, or Braun, however you want to say it. And in his, he's got a little keeping room there off the end of the dining room. And I was sitting there in a real nice view out over a little paddock out there where he keeps his horses, and we were just sitting there enjoying the view, and I was reading some of, I think it was Spurgeon's Morning Devotions, I think it was, and I just read something, this quote, I believe it was, about the keystone. And as I turned, I looked, and Brother Eugene has a fireplace there, and on the back of the fireplace he has a they call it a niche. I think you call it a niche. And out west we call it a niche. So whatever, it's a niche. You know what a niche is? Everybody knows what a slot in the wall there, you know. Put all the whatnots and stuff in there. Well, anyways, he had this niche in the back of his fireplace there and had a big family photo in it. And I was reading this quote, and I looked up and those stones come up and over the top in an arch, and in the top of the of this arch is a keystone. And if you, I'm sure many of you have seen them in the archway, there will be a certain stone, and It's different shape than the rest of the stones, and it's designed in such a way to take the. It's engineered. It's a special stone that keeps the arch from collapsing. And so I was reading this statement by Charles Spurgeon. He said, "Now that grand doctrine, which we take to be the keystone of the evangelical system, the very cornerstone of the gospel, that grand doctrine of the atonement of Christ." And that's exactly where Brother Branham come. He said, because Adam tried to set up a kingdom. He tried to have a life without an atonement. He tried to make him a fig leaf religion, and different ones down through the ages had tried to design some form of religious covering, but without an atonement. And God can only receive an atonement that has His signature on it. He's the only one that can provide an atonement. The Scripture tells us that there's only one provided place of worship, and that's the place that that gate. You see, so now there's a gate, and in that gate there's a keystone, and that keystone is there is an atonement has to be provided. And so without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. And so the very keystone of the gospel is the atonement of Christ. We find that in every place, in every gate, that there would be an arch, that there would be a keystone. We find that there is a gate called that of faith and prayer. And that faith and prayer are sisters. They work hand in hand, but there's got to be a keystone to hold that arch of faith and prayer. And it is the Word of God that says, "Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things that you desire," all right? So first you have to have faith, and then when you pray, so now then you have faith and prayer, but in order to have faith and prayer, you have to have something that will hold that together, which is the keystone of to believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So there's a word that holds our faith in prayer. Otherwise we pray, the Bible says you pray or you make your request and you receive not because you believe not. Amen. And so there's something that holds our faith in prayer that makes a gate for us to go through. And God will only identify that gate with His name, which we have emphasized over and over, that is the revealed word. Now, I was reading another place. There was a theologian, is a minister in the for many years ago. His name is E.M. Bounds. And Mr. Bounds and Brother Bounds says here, he says, "Moreover, when faith ceases to pray, it ceases to live." You see, so our faith, that in order for it to live, we have to exercise our faith through prayer. That if you don't, if you receive not because you ask not, and you ask not because you believe not. But when faith ceases to pray, it ceases to live. Faith does the impossible. Is that right? For with God, all things are possible, because it brings God to undertake for us. So faith puts God into motion. Nothing is impossible with God. With man, it is impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. So now watch. Prayer projects faith onto God. So when we pray, what we're doing, we're not just saying prayers, but we're praying, we're communing with God, and we're exercising our faith, and then we're putting those prayers onto God. And prayer projects our faith to God, who is what? The high priest of our confession. Now then, prayer projects faith onto God, and God then now is projected onto the world. Watch. Only God can move a mountain. Only God can move your mountain. You got a mountain, the Bible says, if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Well, guess what? God is the only one that can move the mountain. But faith and prayer move God. So when we begin to have faith and we begin to have prayer, and this keystone of our belief now is being held there by the Word of God, that we ask in faith and believe and ask that our joy can be full, and then that begins to move the heart of God. And He says, when you ask then and you believe, He said, then it makes Him love you. And then he loves you anyways, but watch, he loves you, and then He responds to your prayer, and it makes you love Him more. Praise God. Watch. He said, this is Charles Spurgeon also. He said, this is a matter of great comfort to a Christian. This indisputably proven doctrine of the resurrection of our Lord. It is the keystone of the gospel arch. So he's saying that the doctrine of the resurrection, the doctrine of the atonement, the doctrine of faith, the doctrine of prayer, that we're placing all of these things, that this is the keystone of the gospel arch. If we take it away or doubt it, the doctrine of resurrection, if we take it away or if we doubt it, Spurgeon says there remains nothing to console you. Now then, the Bible tells us, I believe it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Just going there off of memory here. If I can remember where Thessalonians is. Yes. And he goes, so now he's speaking to us concerning the resurrection. He said the dead would rise there in chapter 4 and verse 13. He said, but I want to have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For we, if we believe that Jesus died and resurrected, is that what it's saying there? Rose again? That even so, them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a great rapture mystery of the shout, the voice, and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise. Speaking of resurrection. So now the Spurgeon here is saying that this doctrine of the resurrection is the keystone. It's the keystone of the gospel. Now watch. He said, and he said, this doctrine of the Lord is the keystone of the gospel arch. Take it away and or doubt it, and there remains nothing to console you. If there's no resurrection, then friends, we're miserable people. There's nothing that'll ever make you happy again. You've believed your whole life in vain. You're going to live your life, you'll die, and you'll go to the grave, and you'll be buried, and you'll be just like a dog or an animal or whatever. You'll go back to the dust, and that's as far as it goes. But let me tell you, one day there was a prophet named Job, and he wondered those same things. And one day he looked out yonder, and the lightning flashed, the thunder rolled, and the prophet saw a vision of himself in the resurrection. And he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And so here in 1 Thessalonians 4, he said, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. that the keystone of the gospel is the doctrine of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We're embracing that. That's what we're living under. Brother Adam says that we're not in a second resurrection, but we are a continuation of the very first resurrection. When Jesus rolls up on Easter morning, where the head came up, and now the body must follow him. Praise the Lord. Brother Adam tells us that Jesus, being the keystone, he said, now he bear record, see, he was the keystone between the Old and the New Testament. He goes on in another message, he says that John the Baptist come between the law and Christ, which was the gap or the keystone that locked the two dispensations together. So now you have what Brother Ram tells us. He said when John was standing in the water baptizing, and Jesus came that day to the Jordan, and John pointed to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus walked down into the water. He said, now what was it? The word was coming to the prophet. And when the word came to the prophet, Brother Adam says, the two most important men in the world were standing there side by side. Think about it. The two most important men in the world were standing there side by side. Now then, what this was, we find that this ministry of John the Baptist and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was the forerunner and the Messiah together. For 3.5 years, this ministry started with John the Baptist, ends with the crucifixion of Christ. Brother Branham tells us that that was the keystone or the Christian dispensation. That's what he calls it. He goes, see if I can find this here. He said, but I say unto you, speaking of John, that he was more than a prophet. He stood between law and grace. He was the keystone. And then he says, now, all of the Old Testament and all of its characters and its characteristics was only a foreshadow of the wedge or the keystone, the New Testament that joins law and this dispensation together. Many people have referred to this as the Christian dispensation, but it isn't. This is the Holy Spirit dispensation. The Christian dispensation lasted 3 years and 6 months. And so he says the law lasted for several hundred years. Then the Christian dispensation that bridged or keystoned the New and the Old Testament together. And so now then what we're living under is the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost dispensation. And the law dispensation and the Christian dispensation was the keystone that held the two together. Now then we find that there was the same thing that began to happen now down through the church ages, that there was going to be another dispensation. And so we know that God sent a dispensational prophet at the beginning of the Christian, of the Holy Ghost dispensation, and he sends a prophet at the end. Now then, he goes on, he says, now, the key given to me of the Lord, whereby I was able to determine that the messenger for each age is a most scriptural one. In fact, it might be called the keystone of the Bible. It is the revelation that God never changes and that his ways are as unchangeable as he is. And so now then what Brother Adam is showing to us, that now here at the end time, that in each age that a messenger had to be chosen. And so he uses, Brother Adam says he used Paul as the example, and that he would be the one that he would use as an example to choose every other messenger after that, that they would be as close to Paul as possible. And we realize that they begin to get further and further removed from the Pauline example until you get here at the end time. And then he would raise up a message and take him over to the other side and show him the judgments of God. And that when Brother Branham would go to the other side and he would see all these people, and he said, "You'll have to be judged with your people." And Brother Branham said, "Will Paul be judged with his people?" He said, "Absolutely, he'll be judged with his people." He said, "Did Paul's people make it?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Then my people will make it because I preached exactly what Paul preached, and those millions, watch," he said, "we're resting on that." The message of this day, the message that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, becomes the very keystone that is holding this bride in her position. Amen. We're sent together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and we're resting on the fact that Jesus Christ, amen, manifested himself the same way in the message of William Branham that he manifested himself in the Apostle Paul. Amen. If it was anything different, wouldn't stand. Would not stand the test, because that stone is engineered for that particular arch. The more degree of curve in that arch, then there has to be a different degree of angle in that keystone to fit that arch. And each of those stones coming up on that degree of whatever that radius is of that curve, that arch has to have, that keystone has to have the right, it has to be cut for that. It has to be cut for that particular arch. And that what the church is resting on today, that God had specifically chosen and selected a messenger that would be cut in such a way so that the arch would come together and it would stand the test of time. And that's why Brother Brown could preach a message, time-tested memorials of God, because each one of those memorials, they stood the test of time. And I'm telling you here tonight, friends, that the message of William Branham, that he brought to us, the message of Almighty God that God sent in this last days, it stands the test of time. It stands the test of adversity. It stands the test of criticism. And once it stands the test of criticism, amen, it goes to the hall of critics. It goes to the hall of fame. Amen. And those that will stand with it, they too will stand the test of time. Amen. Because he said, if it worked for one, if you meet the same conditions, it'll work for you also. Do you believe him this evening? Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. So our musicians return. We bow our heads this evening and just take a moment of reflection. Could I ask you a question tonight and say, what are you resting on? What gate are you waiting in? You're waiting in the gate of confusion? Are you in the gate of doubt and fear? Or did you come into the gate of faith and prayer? Come into the gate of resurrection? Are you resting tonight as we prepare for the Lord's imminent and very soon coming? Are you preparing to live out your life and have a good retirement and move off into a gated community, you know, where they're 55 and above and no little children and no noise and no complications? You're going to go rest out the rest of your life out there, and that's what you're looking forward to, and you're laying up your treasures for some mortal retirement. I'm sure there would be nothing wrong with that if that's the way the Lord would tarry. You'd have the resources to go on and have a comfortable end of life experience here on this earth. I don't think there'd be anything wrong with that. But is that as far as your vision goes? Can you not see past the end of your nose? Can you not see that there's a life beyond this one, and that we're making preparations? We're making preparations for a rapture. We're making preparations for a resurrection. Brother Ram said many times, I'm not worried about getting in the grave. I'm worried about getting out of it. Not concerned about how I get there. I'll get there soon enough. Brother Bam said one thing he wanted to be late for would be late for his funeral. I wonder, maybe when that gun went off that time and blowed up, he said it should have killed him right there. I wonder if the Lord just didn't let him be late to his funeral. Gave him some more years to go on and finish out. How many of us, many times we can look around and say, you know, if it weren't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be here today. No telling, we should have all died more than once. But He's extended our life for whatever reason. We have a purpose in life. And when we finish our purpose, if we finish God's purpose in our life, Brother Bam tells us there's a resurrection waiting for you. But are we just looking for the next school year, or, you know, the next Christmas holiday, or the next birthday, next anniversary? Is that as far as our vision can see? Or are we looking out saying, Lord, I'm looking into another dimension. I'm listening for a different sound, a different call. I'm listening for the scream of an eagle. I'm tired of this old chicken pen I've been walking around in. I'm ready to rise up. Just reflect for a moment here this evening, friends. I haven't preached long. We'll go on our way here in a little while, and Lord knows we might not ever see you again. Some of you may cross before me, or I may cross before you. I don't know. When I'm finished with what God wants me to be done with here, I don't want to be here another day. I don't want to be here 1 minute longer than I'm supposed to be, friends. My thirst and my hunger and my desire is for a city, is for a land, oh my, beyond this life. So I'm asking you this evening, friend, just to look deep inside and say, where are my ambitions? Where are my goals? What is my purpose in life? Am I living in heavenly places, or am I just living in my own places? You look down deep and you look inside, and I'll pray for you and I'll pray with you. You pray for me. Heavenly Father, here our time has come, Lord, and challenged. We're challenged tonight to see what our purpose is, and where our contentment lays. Are we content to go on just living this old life day after day, year after year? Lord, is there something stirring us inside that says we're homesick? Have we been around the Word long enough that we begin to recognize, come into ourselves and begin to shake away this spiritual amnesia? And say, Lord, I'm not in this. I'm not in the right place. I got to get home. I'm not I'm not the man I thought I was. I'm not the woman I thought I was. I realize I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of the King. And I want to go back to Father's house. I want to return back to where I come from. And I'm not happy here. I'm homesick. I'm homesick for a place that I've never seen. Lord, help us tonight, Father. Commit the children into your care, Lord. These are your purchase, Lord. This is the purchase of your blood. Lord, I pray, Father, that you'll stir them in their hearts, Lord. And Lord, that you'll make them have an excitement about the Word of God, a hunger and a thirst, Lord. And we pray, Father, that, Lord, in this last days, that Lord, we'll be ready when you call for your own. We'll be careful to praise you for it and ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What is that? Emmanuel. Emmanuel. His name is called.
His name is.
could you just lift your hands in praise to Him? Just worship Him for a moment. Just make love to the Lord and just praise Him and tell Him how much you love Him. Oh, friends, you might not ever give it another chance as a mortal to give praise to God. Hallelujah, Lord, we take on this opportunity to praise You, to worship You, oh, Master, King of Kings. Oh, Lord of Lords, Almighty God, revealed in us, Lord, we love You. We praise You, we worship You. You're worthy of our worship and our praise. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, praise Him. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, suppose our hearts are clear. Amen. Everybody's happy. Some of you are happy. Some of you are not happy. Amen. Oh, my. When we think of all that He's done for us, friends. And the old song says that my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Amen. Oh, praise His wonderful name. Amen. Brother Jared, you got some songs you want to sing? Amen. Come right on, brother. Amen. Water the seed for a while this evening. Worship You. Amen. If you still need prayer, we'll be with you for a little while. Amen. If there's anything on your heart, why, we love you. Amen. Don't leave this place without getting what you came for. Amen. If you need God, man, we make the altars an open place, but you know, so many times I know the old altar call is a Methodist tradition, and some preachers, I don't say this critically, I say it as, you know, as honestly as I know, but sometimes we think that the altar call is some sign of our success, like, oh, I did a good job, I got a bunch of people came to the altar. I don't care how high you jump, just walk straight when you come back down. I don't care how many times you come to the altar, when you go out the back door, live right, do right. You can do that right in your seat. You don't need an altar for that. But sometimes it helps. Sometimes it helps to come and unite your faith and pray. And, you know, if there's a little hurdle you can't get over, why, that's what we're here for. We want to help you. Friends, the word works. You apply that word to your life. You live under the archway of resurrection power. And friends, amen, you'll have access to God, amen, until He changes you in your mortal body. Amen. Then we'll lay our burdens down and the old robe of flesh will drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize. Shout farewell, farewell. Amen. Sweet hour of prayer. God bless you, friends.
Yeah. Amen. Appreciate that ministry. Man, why don't we just sing a few songs and just bathe in the sunlight of His Spirit. Amen. Such a sweet presence here. Let's sing that song, Be It Unto Me, According to Your Word.
Be it unto me according to Your Word, according to Your promises, I can stand secure. Carve upon my heart the truth that set me free, according to Your word, O Lord, be it unto me. Be it unto me according to Your word, according to Your promises, I can stand secure.
upon my heart the truth that sets me free. Yes, Lord, according to your word, O Lord, be it unto me.
Once again, with all your hearts.
I can stand secure. Oh, carve upon my heart the truth that sets me free. According to your word, O Lord, be it unto me. More than ever before, Lord, I love you. More than ever before, Lord, I need you. More than ever before, I want to tell you. I love you now more than ever before.
Why don't you just say that to him with all your hearts?
More than ever before, Lord, I love you. More than ever. Lord, I need you, and more than ever before, I want to tell you, I love you now more than ever before.
Sing it now with all your hearts.
More than ever before, Lord, I love you.
Hallelujah.
More than ever before, Lord, I need you. More than ever. I want to tell you, I love you now more than ever before.
Let's just sing one more, amen. Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you.
Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you, for I desire to worship and obey.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, draw me closer, Lord. Oh, closer, Lord, to you.
just let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, to you, for I desire to worship and obey.
Hallelujah. Maybe we'll just dismiss in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the blessed word that was ministered today, Father. I pray that you would bless the ministry, Lord. Brother Dale Smith, God, thank you so much for bringing him here, Lord, to speak to our hearts, Lord God. I know I was touched in a special way, Lord, by the ministry. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just pray that you would open our eyes, God, to these things that sometimes we might take for granted, God. Forgive us of complacency, Lord Jesus. Father, help us to shake ourselves, Lord God, and to realize how late this hour is, Lord God. Heavenly Father, I pray that you be with each and every one, Lord, as we close our day, Lord, and we travel to our homes, Lord, and go back out into the battlefield, Lord God. I pray that we take this ammunition with us, Lord God, and help us to slay the enemy, Lord God. Help us to return rejoicing, Father, with victory, Lord, conquering the devil, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we praise you and worship you, and you give you thanks, Lord, for coming by and just touching us, Lord God. Be with us, we pray, Father. Have your way, Lord, as we leave. Have your way, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed as we continue to sing that.
Oh, Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord. To worship and obey. Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around draw.